how would you or should the state or feds take action to increase timber sales in Southeast? And if that's the case, how would you work to make that happen?
Well, there's several promising things. First off, I was pleased to see a bill pass the House of Representatives that looked at setting up a trust in Oregon, or a series of trusts that would return control of Forest Service land to local control. You know, I believe that we want a federal government that looks out for the environment and looks out for development and jobs. And I just don't think we're doing a very good job on the development side right now. I think the federal government is beyond its competence. And so trying to bring decision-making home is the concept. So whether it's doing what they've done or what they're looking at doing in Oregon, whether it's the state forest, or whether it's a mandated timber quota, I'm not sure which. You got to work on all three. But I do believe we can have a sustainable timber industry in Southeast Alaska.
Do you see the transfer of federal land to state control moving forward?
You know, I look at Alaska not only as a western state, but also as an Arctic state. And if you take a look at what's going on around now the Arctic, Greenland just got control of all its federal land from the Danish government, 60,000 Greenlanders, which, you know, the government said, we trust you to manage your land for environment and development. Northwest Territories is getting it from Canada shortly. The Yukon, the fastest growing jurisdiction in Canada, got it in the last decade. And the fact is that we are going to be in a tough situation to compete in the north unless we can offer investors more certainty about what's going to happen here. You know, I'm not going to go to Washington and say, hey, you feds, get off my lawn. I'm really going to say, let's put the organization of how we manage our common resources in a place where we can do it most effectively. I do believe it's important to advocate that. I don't think it's a flight of folly or a pipe dream. And several other states agree with us. Idaho, Utah, Oregon are all working on this right now. And we've got to get past the stalemate that we've got with Washington on the use of public lands.
Do you think the ferry system uses too much government money?
Well, I would like to see over the next decade or so a way to help our marine ferry system be more efficient. I'm one who has advocated for marine highways. I came to Alaska first on the Blue Canoe. My first landfall was in Ketchikan in 1974. And my point is that I understand how important the Marine Highway is to Southeast Alaska, to Southwest Alaska. I've worked in Prince William Sound, and it's incredibly important there. And any entity needs to work for greater efficiencies. I would be as helpful as I could be from the federal level to make sure that we get there.
Hydroelectric power is extremely important to the region, and it's becoming more important to other parts of the state. Are you willing to support continued federal funding for hydroelectric power in the region?
I can tell you from the state end, I've certainly advocated funding. I've worked with Senator Stedman here for funding for projects in Ketchikan and Sitka. One of the biggest impediments to hydroelectric power in Southeast Alaska is not funding, it's the roadless rule. It's problems and impediments that the federal government has put before us that make no sense. And so I've got to be first an advocate for access, an advocate for permitting. I'm not necessarily supportive of the mitigation banking requirements the Corps of Engineers offers, you know, and requires for certain things that raise the cost of these projects. And I am interested in seeing what we can do to make sure that Southeast Alaska and all of Alaska is competitive in energy costs with the rest of the country so we can attract jobs and investment. So when it comes to federal funding, you know, there's the federal government has certainly invested in hydroelectric projects other places in the country, and that's important here. But I believe the first federal role is clearing access to be able to make power happen.
Otters are an ongoing problem for the shellfish industry. Is there anything you could do to help with that issue?
Well, I'll tell you the first thing that I've done is last Christmas, my daughter, my mother, my girlfriend, and my mother-in-law all got otter scars for Christmas from the Lieutenant Governor, Meade Treadwell, because I think they are beautiful, they are warm, they were well-received. I tend to support Alaska Native artists who are working to get us an otter population that's a little bit more sustainable for everybody. I've worked with our Dungeness crab fishery, with our other shell fisheries for a long time. I was deputy commissioner of DEC, so was involved in the food safety aspects. As lieutenant governor, I've certainly supported the seafood marketing aspects. I've been to China hawking our seafood and talking about those opportunities. And I want to make sure that we have a sustainable fishery that works. I was a little upset when the feds told us that federal law didn't allow us to work with native hunters to have a bounty. To me, that doesn't make sense. If you're trying to balance a population to do it right, I don't think they should be controlling the state in that manner. I know that there's some new Arctic co-ops in the works. I know that I've worked very closely with the founders of the Alaska Native Arts Foundation, and frankly, I'm happy to see what we can do to make otter scarves fashionable and support both the subsistence industry as well as subsistence and applied industry as well as keeping our fisheries going. Let me just drop back on this. You know, the Marine Mammal Protection Act was passed in 1972. I'm very familiar with that act. I have been, when I was chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission, one of the lead advocates from Alaska for co-management of our marine mammals. We've learned it with whaling, we've learned it with polar bears, we've learned it with seals, we've learned it with sea otters, that when you bring Alaska natives into the management, you get better science, you get better management, you get better results. And so I'm a strong supporter of co-management, and Alaska natives who you know, wonder time and again, you know, where should the thumb be on the scale between who controls subsistence fishing and hunting. I am a strong believer in co-management, and solving our marine mammal challenges requires it. So I've educated many urban legislators and state officials who really aren't aware of how that happens, and I'll continue to push for it as a United States Senator, because I'll tell you, right back in Washington, D.C., they don't care about the people who live here either. They govern either out of ignorance or malice or both. And we have to be in their fight.